Let's call the brand eye. Ding dong.
Hello?
Yeah. What's going on, dude?
Oh, you know, just got back late last night from California.
California.
Here we come.
What were you doing in California? And then you didn't come say hello to me.
Because I was all the way up in San Jose, which I've just, like, my California geography is real bad. Like, I'm familiar with, like, L.A., San Diego, and a few things in between. But north of Malibu is just an abyss of foreign territory to me.
Wow. That is the most Southern California thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I know that probably makes you mad because you're from NorCal.
I'm from SenCal, bro. But technically.
Oh, SenCal.
I mean, technically NorCal, if we're being.
My bad.
But yeah, you're right.
So I flew into San Jose.
Uh-huh.
I looked at a map because I was like, I don't know where I am. And I saw Palo Alto and I was like, oh, okay, Palo Alto, that's cool. Like Silicon Valley, right? Like Richie Rich. Cool, cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if San Francisco is north or south or east or west. I don't know where Napa is. Is Napa south? Is Napa west? North? I don't know. I just didn't know. I was shocked that the water looked so close on the map because it was very dry and mountainy where I was and no water in sight, but very beautiful. I will say I was visiting an equine sanctuary, if you will, that this wonderful woman that I met rescued 500 wild horses that were going to be sent to slaughter. And she rescued them and put them on this massive ranch that she owns. And the horses just roam free on this property. And they've split off into like their own little herds and families. It's so cool. And we got to go and hear about, I guess, first of all, like her horses and how she was able to keep them wild. But also like they're somewhat domesticated because she has to take care of them to an extent, obviously. But they do roam wild. And we got to hear about that whole process. And also I've worked for a long time with an organization that's kind of fighting for wild horse rights, which I could talk about for hours and hours because it's a very loaded conversation. But basically, the wild horses that roam the West are in pretty severe danger of becoming extinct sooner than later just because of the way the government rounds them up. And unfortunately, even though slaughter is illegal in this country, what happens is these horses that get rounded up get shipped across the border to Canada, Mexico, where they can slaughter them and a lot of them die very cruel deaths. So working with an organization to help bring awareness to that and help solve that problem so that we can have wild horses forever and ever.
I mean, that's beautiful.
Yeah, thanks.
So now I'm playing The Rolling Stones Wild Horses.
Oh, cool, cool. I can't hear it.
Yeah, you can't hear it.
But I know the song. Lovely touch.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. I tell you what, man, horse girls freak me out, though. I'm going to be honest with you. Horse girls.
Okay. Are you got this from TikTok.
No, I'm starting to notice it. I got to be honest with you. But the only thing that scares me more, and I'm going to get some hate for this, the only thing that scares me more than horse girls are Swifties.
Oof.
I think she's a great writer. I think she's a fantastic musician. The craze about this new album coming out and like, I just see all these people tweeting so much. I'm like, it hasn't even come out yet. What are we freaking out about right now?
I mean, yeah, they're freaks. I'm not gonna lie.
You're gonna get a lot of hate for saying that. I'm just saying it just weirds me out a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
I don't like anything that much at all.
Tacos? But,
well, that's just sustenance. You know, it's food. That's important.
You do love them, though.
I do love tacos. I will say this. I saw your Instagram, and it looked like horse heaven.
I mean, it was. We glamped, which basically means you sleep in a comfy bed, but in a tent, which is super cool. And I woke up yesterday morning, stepped outside my tent with my coffee, and like one of the herds, like 50 of them, were just standing out right outside the tents, which was so cool. It was very awesome. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that wild horses roam in the West. You know, I think people don't think that exists anymore, but it absolutely does. And it's very magical. And I do think that the horses, like the wild horses, are really like a symbol of America, you know, just the Wild West and American freedom. And they're in danger and we got to help them. So
who trims their toenails?
So when they're in the wild, they roam so much, they travel so many miles, and the terrain is obviously like a lot rougher out there than what's in my backyard. So because of how much they move around in the terrain, they actually, like, it happens naturally out in the wild. Their hooves just like break off naturally so that you don't have to trim them out there. Wow. And it's because we've domesticated them and keep them right in like smaller spaces and manicured fields where they don't get that. And that's why we have to trim their feet in domesticated situations. And I guess it's similar to, like, you know, zoo animals and animals that are kept in captivity are just, they are just so different and require such different things than animals in the wild because they're domesticated. So similar thing.
Don't you shave horses too? Like keep their fur down?
Yes, I do that because we compete and because they're working. And so because we ride them throughout the winter and they sweat so much because they're exercising, right? It's like when you go outside for a run in the cold. So we do trim their hair so that they're easier to cool down and keep clean in the winter. But like most horses need that winter coat to stay warm. And because we clip our horses is what it's called, they have to wear, that's why they wear blankets. So that's why, like, when you see horses with blankets, it's like, well, horses in the wild don't need that, which is correct, because horses in the wild grow a very thick winter coat every winter, and we shave ours off so that we can continue to ride.
Got it. So humans have made horses weak.
Yes.
Yeah. Typical. That's exactly what we do. We've made, you know, we took wolves and we turned them into a pug with like a nasal problem and bad
yeah,
gas.
Exactly.
You know,
very, very true.
Well, that's very cool. I'm leaving a little bit later today to go to the desert.
Mm.
When you live in California, you do a couple things. You know, you go to the beach, which we don't ever do, which is weird, but I don't ever go to the beach. You can go to the mountains, which we do every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Tahoe or Big Bear or Squaw, whatever. You go to Mexico. We do that one a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that people do a lot is you go to the desert, which I don't know why it's so hot there, but we're going mm-hmm. there for my brother's birthday. So we're going to go out there. We're going to get wasty faced by a pool, and it's going to be good.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah.
I will say the desert is a vibe. You know what I mean?
For sure vibe. A lot of murals out there.
A lot of murals. The Joshua trees are just so cool. I don't know. You're going to not Joshua Tree, right?
I'm going to Palm Springs.
Yeah, palm trees. Yeah. But still, even just like the aesthetic in the desert is very cool. I would dare say, like, there's just a different energy out there that's just nice to like soak in.
Definitely Joshua Tree or like Sedona, like those areas are like kind of like known for a bunch of hipsters going out there and making music and taking drugs. Whereas like Palm Springs is more of like old people going to die, but they do have cool golf carts everywhere, you know?
There's also very cute boutique hotels out there that are like, it's almost like a time warp. A lot of them are like very 70s vibes. And I like that about it.
Yeah. I do like when you go to the desert, only people that have been to the desert or maybe like some places in Florida can really relate to this or understand what I'm talking about. But there is a point in which you become an old person and you go to retire and you think, you know what I need? I need a golf cart, but not just a regular golf cart. I need a Cadillac golf cart.
Oh.
I did a Range Rover golf cart, which is like, you know, Range Rover isn't making this. Someone just like is making a knockoff and you're paying way too much money for it. But I'll tell you what, man, it looks cool. I got to say, like, if I'm going down, if I'm dying, I'm going out in a freaking Lamborghini 12 volt.
Okay. I don't know what that is, but it sounds sick.
Yeah.
Speaking of cars.
Yeah.
Good Max time. Verstappen, world champion for a second year in a row.
Is that Drive to Survive?
F1, yeah. Yeah, F1, yeah. A lot of drama surrounding the Honda Grand Prix that just happened, but after some deliberation, they did find that Max Verstappen gets full points for his win and thus makes him world champion for the year, second year in a row. Get it, Maxie?
Nice. Have you heard about this chess cheating scandal?
Chess?
Chess.
Yeah, I can't say that chess catches my attention.
I don't know what side of TikTok I'm on right now, but I'm on the chess cheating side of TikTok because there's this guy, Hans Niemann, who's accused of cheating in more than 100 chess games. And he like went up against this guy named Magnus Carlsen, who's like a grand wizard master of chess who hasn't lost playing white in like 400 years or something. And he beat him. And this guy that beat him is like known for someone who's like cheats and on like online games and whatnot. And a lot of people think that he had some sort of device on him that like helped him cheat. And what they're saying is he had it implanted in his butthole.
Ew.
He had a rook up his bunghole, and that's how he cheated and was able to beat Magnus Carlsen.
Fascinating.
It's so fucking lame, but also awesome. I didn't know It's like, what a movie this is going to be, you know?
Is it? I don't know if I'm going to watch it.
It's going to be like, hi, I'm Hans Niemann. And I'm going to stick this up my ass and go win a chess tournament. I mean, how amazing is that?
It's something.
Also, Kanye West is back in the news, and he had like a whole White Lives Matter thing, and he's trying to make some statement that I don't really understand. And then he also said something that was pretty anti-Semitic on Twitter, and now he's been banned on both Twitter and on Instagram. And here's a thought, guys. Just a quick idea. What if we stop paying attention to this guy? Let's just not pay attention to him anymore.
I'm down with that. I wasn't really paying attention to him to begin with, so.
Either am I. That's the thing. I'm like not a big hip-hop guy. Never really, like, couldn't tell you a single Yee record out there. I know he's a genius or whatever, but you know what? He's starting to say some things, and it makes me think, hey, let's not pay attention to him anymore. What do you think about that? Let's let him fade off into the distance. No longer with a Kardashian. I just don't know why we do it.
Great question.
Should we start the show?
Oh, I forgot we hadn't done that. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Me or you?
I have no idea.
Go for it.
Okay. Bros and hoes, you're listening to your favorite thing podcast with
Wells and Brandy. All right, guys. Bowl and Branch. Yep. They're making the dreamiest bedding for your spring refresh, and it's all, this is the best part, 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. You'll sleep better right away with their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And they're made with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton, and they're yours to try with their 30-night worry-free guarantee. If you don't like it, you can send it back because Boll & Branch is amazing.
Boll & Branch is loved by millions of sleepers, and they have over 11,000 reviews. Plus, they're made without toxins, so they're free from synthetic pesticides, formaldehyde, and other harsh chemicals that are terrible for you. Plus, they fit the deepest of mattresses. So if you're like me and you have that like pillow top, cloud top, deep mattress, they totally fit, no problem.
Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch during their best sale of the entire season. Get 20% off your order when you use promo code FAVORITE at BollAndBranch.com.
That's Boll & Branch, BollAndBranch.com. Promo code FAVORITE. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I also put a double ding on my soundboard.
Cute.
So.
You're nerding out so hard on that soundboard.
So hard.
Yeah.
So what do you want to start with? You want to start with BIP?
All up might in as well, bills? Yeah.
All right.
We'll jump in.
Episodes 4 and 5 this week.
Mm-hmm.
Initial thoughts? Reactions?
Initial thought. You're getting a lot of screen time this year.
Are you happy about that? Or are you not happy about that?
I'm thrilled.
Oh, thank you.
Love that for you because that's love that for our show, you know?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'll give that a ding. Yeah, another story time with Wells. Wow, I just didn't know we would get blessed with 2 in 1 season.
Oh, I know. And I think there's more to come.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
I would love to see more reenactment from you.
I think we're done with the reenactments.
Oh, I really loved that.
I did too, but we only did the reenactment because there was no video footage to prove what happened, you know?
Right. Yeah, loved that. Love that you're getting that screen time. You know what else I really love?
What's that?
I love how everyone, I know they've always kind of come to you for advice. You've always been the advice guy.
Yeah.
But I feel like right now, like it's changed a little bit to where people really go to you for like answers and stuff too. It's like, well, Wells said she's gone. Oh, Wells said she's gone. She must be gone. It's like, you are the end all be all when it comes to when people don't know what's going on. It's like, oh, well, Wells said this, Wells said that. And it's just like, you're like the deity of paradise.
It's kind of true. You know, it's a vehicle to explain information easily, I think.
Yes. I mean, where do we start here? I feel like let's start with Genevieve, right? Okay. First of all, it's so funny because whose season was he on? Michelle? Justin on Michelle's season?
Yes.
Yes. So like on that season, he was just so quiet and chill and laid back and just like didn't cause any drama. You know what I mean? Didn't ruffle feathers. He was just like sweet Justin. And now I feel like he is just so outspoken and he is ruffling feathers, causing some drama. I'm just shocked. It's just not the same Justin we saw on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, I mean, he was just a walking meme before, I guess.
Yeah.
And now he's got some, he actually has a personality. He actually has things to say. And I gotta be honest with you, in a lot of the conversations that he has with Genevieve, I agree with what he's saying. When she's like, you don't show me anything. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm just looking at this cake I brought you. You got a leg to stand on there, buddy.
I get that. But I do see Genevieve's point of view of like, when she's trying to just explain to him how she feels, he is manipulating her a little bit, trying to make her the way it's like, I've just been manipulated in this way before by a guy. And it's like, they're trying to like talk you out of the way you're feeling, being you being justified by your feelings. And it's like, all right, that might be the case that, yeah, you got me a cake to show me to show me that you care. But that doesn't change the fact that I still haven't been feeling seen and loved, even though on your end, you're doing that. That doesn't just negate the feelings that I've been feeling. Like, she's not making that up. You know what I mean? Like, that's just something that I think at the end of the day, they just need to agree that they aren't showing each other. They're just not a match, right? Like, the way he's showing love isn't, she's not feeling it. She's not able to like receive it in that way. And like vice versa. And it's just not going to work. Like, their love languages are just too different, in my opinion.
Well, I also think that there is subcontext of Genevieve thinks that he's there waiting for Sally to come.
Sure. That's possible. But there is definitely a very clear difference in the way Aaron is with her. He's so affectionate, constantly grabbing her, touching her, kissing on her. I don't like that. That's not my love language. That's not my thing. But obviously, Genevieve's been very outspoken that that is what she needs to feel appreciated and loved. And Aaron has given her that. And Justin did not. So to me, it's like very clear why it works with Aaron and why she would gravitate towards Aaron versus like Justin is probably somebody that's more like my kind of speed, where it's like, I don't let not down with like the touchy feely stuff. I don't need someone kissing on me all the time. In fact, that kind of turns me off, but like things like making me a cake, like acts of like, that's like more like of like an act of service, like doing something for me means more to me. So I just feel like it's just like, I see the love language thing, really.
I know that Genevieve is kind of getting like love hate on social media because, I mean, she is featured so much and she does, she comes across as a little bit of a cuckoo bird, but I think that that's why people love her and maybe hate her. Like, she is interesting. Love her or hate her, she is interesting and she's making good TV and she's, and she's, I think she's just coming at it honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Casey is like one of the funniest people on the show, I feel like.
He is funny, yeah.
So Sarah turned to me and she goes, I don't understand why he's on the show. Well, you need different types of people. Yes, you need like the overly dramatic Genevieve. Yes. You need the pot stirrer in Shanae. But then you also need a Casey. Casey was like me on the show. He was like the voice of reason. And he's the voice for the audience who's like, this is crazy. These people are being crazy. Someone needs to say it to validate what the audience is watching. And that person is Casey.
Yeah, I've always liked Casey.
Yeah, he's great. What did you think about Michael breaking up with Sierra after she gave him that like nice gift?
I know. I was like, I get it. Like, you don't want to like just go along with something because someone's doing something nice. But at the same time, like, the timing, bro. Come on.
He came and talked to me beforehand and he was like, listen, I'm not sure if this is like my person. And one, like, she's just moving a little bit fast. She's talking about like, you know, like picking up my kid from daycare or, you know, taking my kid to school. And he's like, whoa, dude, like we just got here, which I know in her mind, she thought that that was the right thing to say, you know, like that's what he needed. And unfortunately, that's not what he needed.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing to him was, listen, it's much easier to do it earlier than it will be later. You know,
absolutely.
Like, so you just need to keep that in mind. And the thing about the gift, I mean, it's a beautiful, wonderful, heartfelt. It was real, too, by the way. Like, I saw the paperwork and everything. Beautiful sentiment. You know, these three stars that represent Michael and Michael's kid and his, you know, his wife who passed away. But even in that, that's kind of crossing a line a little bit.
It's all very serious, very quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can relate to Michael just in the sense of like, it's, I don't like it when people move too quick and get so serious so quick. And to me, like, that scares me, that pushes me away. And it's not, and it's hard because sometimes people are just doing really nice things and doing everything that on paper seems so right. Right. And on paper, it's like everything you'd want in somebody. But if it's happening too fast, it's very it very easily has like the other effect of like pushing you away. And so I feel like that was what was happening with him. It's like, yeah, he wants to find love again. Yeah, he's open, of course, like he wants that. But even though you can want that, it's something that I think like if it happens too fast, it's just not going to work. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And it just takes a very special person, I think, to have the patience and like the, I guess, like confidence to be able to not rush things, like, and to have the security to like be like, you know what, I'm cool to go like as slow as you want. I don't need a label. I don't need this. Like, you know, I just want to, you know, take it at your pace. Like, I think it would have probably been better if she had gone that route.
The sad thing is that he did it when he's got no prospects now. So
I know,
but I think that that's also a testament to like the type of guy that he is. He's like, I'm not doing this for roses and to be on TV. Like, I need to find a connection. If I don't have one, then I'm just not going to. I remember when we had that conversation, I was like, wow, this is why I like you, because you actually are like a complete mature adult who are making adult decisions here. They're just tough ones. So anyways,
I'm pretty impressed that he decided to stay. I think if it were me and like I had to break up with somebody like that and felt like I'd hurt somebody because I wasn't ready, like I think I would have just like had a meltdown and been like, I need to go, you know. I'm proud of him for staying. I think it's probably the harder thing to do. I think the easy thing would have been like, oh, she's leaving. Well, I'm going to leave too.
Totally. But we might have something in store for old Michael down the pipe.
Little Michael.
Brandon and Serene, the cutest fucking things in the world.
Oh my God. Where do I get a Brandon?
Seriously.
Like, a Brandon is what every girl dreams of.
I mean, he started crying when he saw her?
It's unbelievable.
Just what she was wearing to dinner.
And don't get me wrong, like, Serene is so deserving. I've always been a fan of her. She is so sweet. She seems so kind and genuine and just so lovely. I think they are literally a match made in heaven. But, like, can I get a Brandon out here? Gosh.
Dude, everyone needs a Brandon.
Oh, I need a Brandon.
And they're both just like, I'm falling in love with you. I'm falling in love with you too. Oh my God. And it's like, oh, sweet. Just get married now. You know?
I know. It's just like, it's so sweet and like so innocent and in like the best way. And yeah. Oh my God. Like barf, but love it.
I did want to ask you, what are your thoughts on Ashley and Jared kind of like coming and crashing the party?
Hey, listen, I love Ashley. Like love. It's funny. Like, it's crazy to think like how long I've known her, even though I don't know her super well. Like I've been on her podcast. I've hung out with her a couple times in person in LA. Like it's just funny. I've known her forever and I love her to death, but I just feel like it's a little, I think if they had just come in for one episode, it would have been so cute and so cool, but it's a little much. Like they're getting a little too much screen time for me. Like I love them and I think it's great that they're coming down here to have a little vacay. I just don't know if it needs that much screen time.
Because when it was presented to me about what was happening, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, let's just see how it goes. And it has made for like 3 or 4 very, very good acts of television. And that's what we need. Like this season, we had so many more episodes to fill. That's why you're seeing a bunch of me. All right, let's just find things to fill this show up. And they did really, really good acts. Like the whole farting thing is fucking hilarious.
I can't believe she went along with that.
I can't either, but that's a testament to like, I guess how cool they are. I would never have allowed that, nor do
absolutely
I ever
not
really fart in front of Sarah just because like I want to get laid eventually. But but that was just so funny. And the fact that it's her and not him, like that's even better. Like it was just, it was chef's kiss. Like, wow, I can't believe that this happened. And I can't believe she wasn't like, you guys can't air that. Like that's going to kill me, you know,
But I do think that is like her personality, though, is very like she's very unashamed of everything about herself, which is so endearing about her and makes her so relatable. But I'm shocked. I was like, all right, like one fart maybe. But like they're really like running with this, you know?
And then like they're having a hard time like having sex, you know, like over and over, like every night. It's like, we got to do it. We got to do it. And then, you know, the editors did such a great job of all these different water spewing and all these weird cutaways. And then it's like 7 minutes and 52 seconds later. And then he says like, they're going to do the thing with like, it's like 7 minutes, 52 seconds later. And it was like, oh, that's funny. Like it's a good bit.
It is funny.
So I'll give them that. And listen, they are Paradise royalty. So like,
absolutely.
I get it. And you know what? Like I kind of agree with you. Like, I don't know if you need to string this out over three different episodes, but I think it's cool every season to have people come in to like remind everybody of what the stakes are, which is marriage and kids, you know?
I do think they have done it in the past where someone comes in for an episode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just thought it was a lot to have them there like so many days, but
yeah.
I love them. Happy for them. It still blows my mind how that worked out for her.
Oh yeah. I mean, she like manifested that for sure.
Yes, she did. She did not give up.
Okay. I think that's enough. Probably enough batch stuff.
Yeah.
You got some fave things, bro, or what?
Oh, you know what I just watched and finished?
What?
Remember, do you remember me talking about that show called In the Dark? I think it's a CW show, but then it gets put on Hulu or Netflix once, you know, it's been aired. It's the show about the blind girl that gets caught up in the drug cartel and the selling drugs, and it's like a whole thing. But it's funny because it's like not a super serious show, really. And it's like it's definitely got comedic aspects to it, but like people die and go to prison. And it's like serious stuff happens. It's, I don't know. It's a good show. Season 4 just came out on Netflix and I cruised through it. And I am not going to ruin it for you guys, but the ending is so tragic and sad. And I loved it, but I'm like, did we have to end it that way? Did we?
A blind young woman tries to solve her friend's murder in the dark on the CW. I gotta say, you love CW bullshit.
I love it. Who doesn't?
I mean, a majority of the United States population.
What do you mean? Wasn't Vampire Diaries on CW? I never watched that show, but everyone I know, that's their favorite fucking show.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like that people love a C-Dub show.
Yeah, like a 15-year-old girl likes a C-Dub show.
This one's good. I'm telling you. Even you would like it, I think.
All right.
It's cute.
Wait, I have to know. Did you watch Best in Dell?
I still can't figure out how to download Hulu shows.
I just want you to know that today, Reese Witherspoon posted on her Instagram about how much...
I posted!
Yes, but Reese actually watched the show. And she wrote, this is not an ad. I just love pizza. This show is so good.
I'm going to watch it. I'm home for 3 weeks. I'm going
to
watch it.
I don't know if I even want you to watch it anymore.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Kind of over.
You want those streaming numbers.
I do want that.
Uh-huh. I did turn it on one day and let it run.
Well, thank you for that.
I did do that. Still watching Tell Me Lies on Hulu, which we talked about already, which I'm still loving. I am not caught up on House of the Dragon. I did not get to watch Sunday night's episode. Did you watch last night?
Yes, and I want to talk to you about it because I don't know what the fuck happened.
Don't say anything.
What the fuck? I don't even understand what happened.
If you ruin it, I'm going to be so mad. It's the highlight of my week.
I can't even ruin it for you because I just don't even understand what happened. I don't understand. But there is a pretty badass beheading in it. And we'll see that.
Oh, damn. Okay, this wasn't the last episode of the season, right?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think there's a couple more, right? There better be.
Well, let me tell you what. If they ended it on that episode, which I was just like, I need to like go on TikTok and have someone explain to me what the fuck just happened. I don't understand.
Oh, well, my TikTok is full of people talking about that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without ruining last night's episode for me, though, are you team Damon and Rhaenyra or no?
Yes. 100%.
You are?
100%.
Yeah, same. Same.
I do not like the queen at all.
No. You know what, though? You know who's... she's evil for sure, but you know who's just really fucking evil all of a sudden is Sir Criston.
Oh, yeah. He's just a bitter little bitch.
I was about to say he's a little bitch.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Although when she did like command him to take the boy's eye, he did say, I was shocked actually. I thought he was going to go for it. He did say like, I'm your protector, not your killer, you know?
All right. Go watch it so we can talk about what the fuck just happened. Cause I don't understand. God.
Okay. You know, a lot of people were up in arms over the sex scene on the beach between Damon and Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
They were like, we've waited all season for this and we've had to endure like sex scenes between the king and like young Alicent and like all these awkward sex scenes. And they're like, and you're telling me that that's all we get of Rhaenyra and Damon, like in the dark on a beach where you can't see and can't hear anything. And like, I don't know, like a lot of people wanted a much juicier sex scene, and I gotta say, I kind of agree.
Yeah. Stephen King has a new movie out right now. It was from one of his short stories, and he teamed up with Ryan Murphy to put out this Netflix movie called Mr. Harrigan's Phone. And I gotta say, I absolutely loved it.
Okay.
We've gotten kind of spooky.
I haven't even seen it.
We've gotten kind of spooky here at the Addams Family household. And we've been watching a bunch of stuff. Like, we watched a bunch of Screams. We watched the original Halloween. Sarah hadn't, it was like, I don't know if I've ever seen like the original Halloween.
What?
Which, by the way, like, is not scary at all.
Well, not now, but it was then.
I know, but like, it's just not scary at all. But here's the thing. There are movies from back then that were scary. Like, The Shining was scary. The Exorcist was scary. And then the Halloween's just like, okay, you're a slasher film, but you're not even that scary.
You know which one really got me as a kid was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, that's just gore.
Oof.
Anyways, Mr. Harrigan's Phone. It stars Donald Sutherland.
Oh.
And Jaden Martell, who's like the best little actor in the world. He was in It. He was in Knives Out. A bunch of stuff. And he is so good in this. When Mr. Harrigan dies, Craig, the teen who befriended and did odd jobs for him, puts his smartphone in his pocket before burial. When the lonely youth sends his dead friend a message, he's shocked to get a return text. Mr. Harrigan's Phone. It's really good. It's spooky. It's got a good twist to it. The acting's phenomenal. It looks just like every Stephen King thing in the world. I'm probably much to the chagrin of Ryan Murphy, who definitely has a very specific aesthetic. But I loved it. You should go watch it.
Cute. Netflix?
Netflix.
Yeah.
Speaking of spooky, I watched Elon's new show, The Midnight Club.
I haven't heard of that either.
Do you remember Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of got that vibe. It's definitely a YA spook situation.
I love a YA.
I know you love a YA. Your favorite station is the CW. We know you love.
I didn't say that was my favorite station.
I'm saying it.
It's not. What other CW show do I watch?
I don't know. I just feel like you're
no,
just like,
no other CW show. Although Big Sky kind of like seems like it should be a CW show.
But. Yeah. And like Manifest, I feel like it's a CW show.
Oh, that one's coming back for one more season, you know?
Yeah. And then
coming back.
Like, I feel like Virgin River isn't a CW show, but is a CW show.
Oh, totally. You're totally right. Yeah. Okay. Guilty.
So The Midnight Club. The Midnight Club follows a group of 8 terminally ill patients at Brightcliff Hospice who begin to gather together at midnight to share scary stories. The Midnight Club on Netflix. So it's similar to Are You Afraid of the Dark? Remember, like, they all got together and they would sit around the fire and tell stories?
Yep.
So they're doing that, but they're all dying of some different disease. And they're in like this creepy old hospice. So not only are they telling creepy stories, but they're also kind of living in a very creepy place where like the main character is seeing a lot of ghosts and stuff already. So it's kind of twofold, but it's cool. Like, so they have their story and then every midnight they'll go and tell a story. And the people who are hearing the story or telling the story are also acting out the other story that they're telling, which is really fun. Anyways, if you're looking for some spooky stuff before Halloween, The Midnight Club, very good. And our buddy Ilan Gale did it. And it's also like the same director that did Haunting of Hill House, I believe. So
I was just about to say that was my favorite Halloween watch for the past couple of years.
Yeah, I think you'll like it.
Okay, cute. Netflix?
Netflix.
Netflix. All right. Get it,
Ilan. Oh, I have one more.
Okay.
Have you heard of Reboot?
That sounds familiar.
So it's on Hulu and it's created by Steve Levitan, who is the creator of Modern Family.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Keegan-Michael Key, Johnny Knoxville's in it, Judy Greer's in it, Paul Reiser's in it. Like, the cast is ridiculously good. Follows an early 2000s family sitcom that Hulu has rebooted and their dysfunctional cast that must deal with their unresolved issues in today's fast-changing world. Reboot. You know how, like, Full House was reboot, you know, with Fuller House, yep. And, like, Boy Meets World turned into, like, Girl Meets World and that kind of stuff? It's mm-hmm. It's doing that. It's
got it.
And so this show is, I think, what Step by Step was. I think that's the idea. And so they reboot it, but they're trying to like reboot it like gritty and serious and not like a wacky sitcom like it used to be in the 80s. And so it's really like the power dynamics between the original writer and like the new writer and like the cast is all kind of washed up and all this stuff. So it's super meta and really, really good and very, very funny. Keegan-Michael Key is amazing, and Judy Greer is so good. You know the writing's good because it's Steve Levitan who did freaking Modern Family for 11 years. So anyways, Reboot. Go check it out.
Cute. I take it you have not seen the Netflix movie Blonde.
I heard it was so terrible that I was like, I'm good.
Too. But I love Ana de Armas.
Yeah. Well, why don't you
I'm gonna give it a watch.
You go watch
I'm gonna give it a watch this week.
Yeah. I'm gonna put forward an idea and just you can take it or you can just leave it. What about this, Airlines? What if you could see if the person you're sitting next to has a baby? You know?
Yeah.
Because when you buy a ticket, it always asks you, like, do you have an infant on your lap or something? You know, and you have to be like, no, I don't. I don't. I would never do that to anybody. You know who really wants to know that information? The person that's deciding what seat to sit in. Because if that is the, first of all, if you have a kid, you should have the whole row anyways. Like, you're putting everyone in a bad situation. Because we all knew that there was a kid in that row, everyone would be like, you know what? Just have the entire row. You need it. You need help. Sometimes I'm like, I'm going to pay for the exit row or something. You know, I pay a little extra. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting next to a screaming, snot-nosed kid. Come on. Hey, Airlines, let me know. Okay.
I have a better solution for this.
What is it?
I've been saying for years that they need to designate like the back, however many rows, three rows of the plane for people with small kids, because then they all have to sit back there together and deal. And then like, you know, like the further you sit, closer you sit to the back, the more you're going to have to deal with the screaming children.
Wait, rows of parking these kids now? I don't think you can do that.
But okay, whatever. Pick four rows in the middle of the plane, whatever.
Yeah.
But just like make it a designated area, put them all together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's called segregation. I'm not sure if I agree with that. I just think that you should be, the information should be presented to you.
Yeah, like, what if you have that information, but like still the only empty seats are the ones next to kids?
Tough luck, buddy.
I don't know. I feel like they need to have their own section.
Oh, by the way, I started watching the new Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay. And it's great. It's old people versus young people, which is hilarious. And there's a guy from Murfreesboro who is very good. His name is Alex. And I was like, I bet you he worked at like a really good restaurant. Guess where he worked at?
Where?
Husk.
Ooh, yum.
Husk is good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I love the new, I'm just a big Hell's Kitchen guy. It's just great, you know? Big cooking show guy, you know?
Yeah, I do know.
No, you don't actually, because you haven't watched
it. I will know.
Yeah, okay.
Have you seen the clip? I'm not sure if it's new or not. And I feel like it's not because I don't know what he'd be promoting. But have you seen the clip of Ryan Gosling on the Ellen show that's on TikTok right now?
Yes.
He's so funny.
Is he?
I think he's so funny. But he's so subtly funny in movies that... And I guess he's so subtly funny on the Ellen clip too. But I was laughing out loud on the airplane watching this. People thought I was insane.
Like him thinking that his left thumb is the most attractive body part.
Yes.
And then her being like, what do you do when you're completely naked? And he said,
get undressed.
Get undressed, which makes no sense. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Love him.
All right. I'm going to give you that.
He's adorable.
I was in New York last week and there's scaffolding. Every block you walk down, there's crazy scaffolding. Everywhere in New York. They're always fixing shit. Hey, New York, build it right the first time. Why do we keep doing this? I'm always having to walk underneath some crazy things. I'm worried that like a safe's going to fall down, a piano's going to fall out of a window and kill me.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Would you rather them not fix it?
Why you got to fix it all the time? Guys, let's do it right the first time and then you're done.
I guess when you cram that many people into that small of a space, they break shit a lot, you know?
I know. I don't know.
I've been in New York in so long.
Did you know that Like a Prayer by Madonna is about giving blowjobs?
I think I did know that. I believe I've heard that before.
Let's just listen to some of this. I saw this and I was like, no, you're right. It's about giving blows. I hear you call my name. And it feels like home. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there in the midnight hour. I can feel your power. Take you there?
Absolutely.
I hear your voice.
It's like an angel sighing.
Sarah's never said that my voice is like an angel sighing when I'm about to jizz.
Ew.
Feels like flying. Close my eyes. Of course you do. Oh, God. Yeah, you should close your eyes. It's going to get all over the place. Heaven help me. When you call my name, it's like a little prayer.
Oh my God.
I'm down on my knees. I'm blowing you up there.
This visual is not okay.
Oh, my God. Anyways, I thought that was interesting. I didn't know that. I mean, it makes
fascinating.
Sense. I guess it makes sense, but I didn't know. But now I know.
There's just so many songs with, like, hidden meanings. I just...
Yeah, I mean, like, Harry Styles, the watermelon songs about...
I feel like they just sit around a studio and get, like, super stoned and are like, everyone's going to think we're talking about this. We're really talking about this. Let's get them, you know?
I saw this on TikTok.
Morningwood. So you're telling me guys just, like, wake up hard? And this is what goes through my head. I'm like, the last 30 minutes of your REM sleep, were you like having flashes of like naked girls? Like, how did you get hard? Do you just wake up hard? Because I don't wake up wet. Like, how are you waking up hard? And then you wake up and it's like, he's like, I'm hard. And I'm like, that's slightly my problem, but it's not my problem. That's not my problem.
Do you think that guys are dreaming about like having wet dreams when we have morning wood?
Probably.
No, let me just...
Okay, just because you don't remember it doesn't mean it's not happening.
It's not what... It happens almost every morning, and it's not a sexual thing. Now, you can use that power for good, of course.
Okay, so what's the science behind it that makes it not sexual?
Apparently, it's because you have a bunch of urine in your bladder, and it's pushing up against your prostate when you lay down like that, and that's what torques you up.
Seems like a stretch.
It's what morningwood is. It's not about...
I don't know.
I mean, like, I know that you guys think that we think about sex all the time, but you...
You do.
Yes, but usually in the morning, it's not that. It's, oh, God, I got to push it down to go pee.
Fascinating. I love TikTok.
It's really burning a lot of my time these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
Yeah. If I put as much time into creating TikToks as I did watching them, I would be a zillionaire probably.
Same. We got some YFTers that have left some messages.
Oh, good.
Hey, Wells and Brandy. Joy from Ottawa, longtime listener. And just want to say that you two are my favorite thing,
aww,
ding, 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 of every single week. So I love you guys' podcast. In terms of some other favorite things, I am, don't think you guys have talked about it, but I'm a big fan of the show Anatomy of a Scandal on Netflix. It is a limited series. I think it's like only 6 episodes, but like, holy crap. That show kept me hooked, binged it all in one go, had to watch it all over again. So good. It's got Michelle Dockery in it, who's from Downton Abbey and The Gentleman. She's great in it, and there's some other, you know, pretty cool people. So I think that is one that you guys should watch and check out. That's all I got right now. In terms of books, I am a big rereader, so I am reading Outlander, even though I've watched the whole series and waiting for the newest seasons to come out in Canada because things are slow here. Anyway, love you both. Have a wonderful day.
Okay. That's good.
That is one show I have never seen is Outlander.
Wow. You would love it.
That's what everyone says. I think I need to jump on that train.
Sarah was obsessed with it.
Uh-huh. So Olivia was too. It's very popular. I need to give it a go.
Yeah.
But we did. I did watch Anatomy of a Scandal. We did talk about it briefly. I just don't think we like really went in hard on it. But it was a good show. Highly recommend. Real quick before I forget. Did you see that my mom finally was able to announce that her production company is turning Little Secrets into a series?
Yeah. Is that Colleen Hoover?
It's not. It's Jennifer Hillier.
Yeah.
Who did Jar of Hearts and a couple other really great books that we've talked about here before. So this has been something in the works for a really long time that I've obviously known about for a really long time. And my mom and I are both so excited about it. And so it was super cool to get to see it on Deadline and see that she could announce it. I'm taking full credit because obviously I told her about the book, but I know the YFTers really liked that book. So super exciting, guys. Like, soon-ish, we're going to have a whole TV show about it that my mom got to do. So cool.
Have they started production?
Not yet.
Have they cast it?
I don't think they're done casting it yet, but they have like a really great team on board to do the show. But I know they have like a really great showrunner and director on board that's done some other cool things. So I'll get the deets to share. It's going to be a Peacock show.
Very cool.
Which I know. Well, been in the fam, you know?
All right, here we go. More voicemails.
Literally been listening to the show since day one. I was also a big fan of Sorry Your Sound. Please bring it back, Brandi, please. I think my favorite thing right now is actually something that Brandi went to. So I watched the entire 5.5-hour concert on Paramount Plus of the Taylor Hawkins tribute concert in Wembley.
It was 5.5 hours?
The one in London might have been.
Okay.
I don't think the one in California was.
Got it.
And I was so sad they didn't do the LA one, but I was hoping Brandi could talk a little bit more about that experience because the lineup was absolutely bonkers, and I wanted to know what her favorite parts of it, besides Miley, obviously, were. Because I genuinely think I've watched Taylor Hawkins' son, Shane, playing the drums for My Hero. I think I've watched that clip probably about 100 times at this point. So, yeah, I would just love to know what her favorite part of it was. Bye!
What was your favorite part?
So I wasn't there for the entire show. So I don't want to say that it wasn't 5 hours because I don't really know for sure. But I don't think the LA show was that long. So we showed up, I would say, maybe like an hour into the show. And I had to stay backstage until Miley went on. And I only got to stand out there while Miley was on stage. It's one of those things where, like, when there's a show like this where there's so many people involved, like so many artists and all these artists are rolling so deep, right, with so many guests and team and whatnot. Like, there's just no possible way for everyone to be able to be side stage all at the same time for the whole show. So they kind of, every time somebody would go out on stage, like, you know, their crew and team and guests would like follow them and get to stand out there and watch. So that being said, there were some monitors backstage, and I will say, like, just being backstage was so cool. It really was like a nice reminder that rock and roll is not dead. Like, everyone around us was just so rock and roll, the way they dressed, drinking, smoking cigarettes. Like, it almost like transported you back to that era. And my mom was like living her best life. But, you know, we were sitting there and Miley standing there with Tommy Lee and Nikki Sixx and obviously the Def Leppard crew, that's who she performed with. And Tommy's son was there. It was just very cool. We got to see on the monitor we were watching, I saw Kesha's performance, and then Kesha came backstage to hang. Travis Barker was there with Courtney. I'm pretty sure Travis performed at some point during the night, which I didn't get to see. But just to see so many people kind of come together from all different aspects of the music world, right? Like, obviously Kesha's pop, you know, I guess people consider Miley pop, and then you have all these rock and roll guys from back in the day that are just legends, and everyone just working together and coming together for Taylor Hawkins was just such a cool experience. Oh, you know who else I didn't know was performing that was unexpected was Mark Ronson. He came out and performed, and I guess I just didn't realize that he knew Taylor and had worked with Taylor before. And so, you know, there's somebody from like the electronic world and stuff, and it was just very cool. I really should go and watch. I don't know. I'm sure the LA show is live, is like recorded somewhere. I think you can watch it somewhere. If not now, I think it is going to come out, because I would love to go back and watch it, because I mean, it just seemed like every single time they did a changeover on stage and brought people out, it was just like, oh my gosh, so-and-so, I can't believe that. So-and-so. The Darkness performed, which my mom wasn't really familiar with The Darkness, but I'm sure you are.
I believe in a thing called love.
Exactly. Yeah. They said they performed that.
Yeah,
it was epic. So, you know, just very cool. If I find out where you can watch the whole show, I'll let you guys know. I'll try to find that out.
Very cool. All right. Last one.
Hey, welcome, Brandi. Wanted to call and tell you some of my favorite things.
Thanks.
One of my favorite things lately as someone who grew up Mormon in Utah is people realizing how fucking weird Mormons are. Huh. It is my favorite thing lately. And if you have any questions, I can be your Mormon correspondent. Also, a show we've been loving lately is Abbott Elementary. My husband and I look forward to it every single week. It is so cute and so funny and unproblematic. It's just delightful. A book series I really loved recently was A Good Girl's Guide to Murder. There's 3 books. They are so good. It's this girl who is trying to solve this old murder in her town and gets in all these crazy circumstances. It's an incredible series. I flew through them. I've been loving Best in Doe. It's so funny. The 3 grandmas were freaking hilarious. And one of my other favorite things is my little sister, Grace, who listens to this show. Shout out to her. She's wonderful, and I love her. But those are my favorite things lately. So, bye.
I agree.
Very cute.
Abbott Elementary is so good. Sarah's old co-star from The Wedding Year, Tyler, is one of the main characters, and he was up for an Emmy this year. And that show is phenomenal. It's like The Office or Parks and Rec or Modern Family, but taking place at a school, and it's genius.
Cute.
So if you guys want to call in for the hotline and let us know what some of your favorite things are, the number is 858-630-1856.
Love it. Before I forget, I just wanted to let the Wyatteer knows, if they didn't know already, that Young Nikki, aka my sister Noah Cyrus, is on tour right now. She's been posting some clips on her Instagram from her shows, and she looks great. She sounds great. No surprise there. So if any of you guys are interested in seeing Noah live, she's currently on tour. You can go to her Instagram and find the dates. If you happen to live in Nashville, she will be here on Sunday performing at Marathon Music Works. So that'll be a fun show. Would love to see some
YFTers
there.
Oh, I miss Marathon Music Works. My old radio studio is right next door to it.
Yep, it's a fun space.
It's also where antique pickers are.
American pickers?
American pickers, that's it.
That's it.
I've been gone for a while.
You have.
All right, is that everything?
I think so.
All right. Well, I think there's only one song we can go out on. All right, YFTers. You know, every time you hear this song, just think of giving some blow-blows.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's just chef's kiss. I close my eyes. Oh my God. So
we don't need to hear it again.
All right. We love you.
Love y'all.
Don't forget to call us and leave us voicemails and rate and review on the podcast store or whatever. And read some fuck you very muches next week.
Ooh, love that.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Madonna's definitely going to sue us.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.